It's time for Rush Hour with Danny Burke, presented by Bet Rivers.
Hello, everybody, and welcome in to Rush Hour, presented by Bet Rivers. Danny Burke live here at the Bet Rivers Sportsbook, just outside of the Windy City in Des Plaines, Illinois, to be exact. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at DannyBurke5, and you can follow VEASAN on Twitter at VEASAN Live. Tonight, we will be talking about the NHL slate that we have, because, of course, we're looking forward to the NBA All-Star Weekend. And with that being said, we have some three-point we might not get into the three-point skills competition as much, but we'll look over the game line, spreads, total, all that good stuff. We'll be talking some UFC, most likely with Lou Finocchiaro later, for the big UFC 259 card. So a bunch of stuff to look forward to in terms of that. And talk a little bit of baseball as well, if we can connect here with Clay Link in about a few minutes or so. But before we get to that, let's start out the game, or start out the show, rather, how we usually do with the pregame rush, and that's getting you up to speed with these games and their closing lines. And really, you know, not the biggest college basketball slate per se, so we do have one hockey game that's about to drop puck at center ice any moment, and that's between the Bruins and the Capitals. So in this matchup, Boston opened actually about minus 155-ish, and it's gone down now considerably to about minus 137 at Bet Rivers, plus 118 for the Washington Capitals as the road dog. This total went from 6.5 now to 6. The under is the favorite, minus 118. So look, Washington's been on a nice little run here. They're on a four-game winning streak. They're 13-5-4 straight up this year, 6-2-2 on the road. Now Boston comes into this matchup 12-5-3 straight up, 5-1-1 at home. The Capitals just beat Boston on Wednesday 2-1. Now that was in a shootout. And Bruins are now losers of their last 3 out of 5, so they've been in a little bit of a tricky rut here. But the Capitals come into this again, like we said, on a four-game winning streak. They've already beaten the Bruins 2 out of 3 games. In Game 1, the Capitals got the win 4-3 in overtime. Game 2, Boston won 5-3. Then Game 3, as we know, was the pass game. Washington won 2-1 in the shootout. So looking deeper into this game, Halak looks like he's going to be in net for Boston. And, you know, he's serviceable. I have confidence in him in a sense that I would play him against the Capitals. 4-2-1. So far this season with a 2.4 goals against average, a 90% save percentage, and one shutout on the year. He did play once versus the Capitals. He was actually in net the game that they beat Washington in that game. He allowed a few goals, though, 88% save percentage, but they did get the win. Now, Washington, I was looking at their side, and what kind of scared me is I didn't want to have Vanecek be in goal, you know, and that was the one reason that I wasn't going to play it. If he ended up being a goal, I wasn't going to play it. And, you know, ipso facto, he's in goals. So 10-4-3 for Vanecek this year, 2.7 goals against average with a 91% save percentage. He's been great versus the Bruins, a 91% save percentage, 2.6 goals against average, and 2-1 against Boston so far this year. So otherwise, I think this would be a great bounce back spot against the Capitals for the Bruins, right? I mean, you know, we talk about this method so much, about the team losing at home, coming back as the home favorite. And I think this would be a great opportunity for the Bruins minus 137. Again, though, not as favorable with this goalie matchup. I think it's a little bit too, you know, I'm more hesitant now pretty much as I'm beating the stat horse with Vanecek being the goals or being in goal. So, you know, for this one, I'm going to stay away. Would still lean toward Boston bouncing back here, but ultimately choosing to stay away from this matchup between the Bruins and the Capitals, because overall in the year, I mean, Boston slightly has the advantage in terms of at least penalty kill percentage, 88% compared to Washington's 80%. Washington puts up about 29 shots per game and they get about 30 against them. Boston's putting up 31.5 shots per game and only 26.1 shots against. So I do think Boston has a great shot tonight. But again, the goalie matchup is what's scaring me away a little bit. So overall, it's going to be a stay away from me, but I do have that slight lean toward the Bruins here at about -137, where the Capitals we see at plus 118. This total's dropped from 6.5 down to 6. Over even money, under is minus 118. And really quick, we'll hit on this game later because we have about an hour till it gets underway. The Lightning and Blackhawks going at it once again. Currently, Tampa Bay's a minus 190 favorite on the road, plus 160 for the Blackhawks as the home dog. This total we see at 6. Now, it looks like Subban is going to be in the net for the Blackhawks. Not sure who's going to be in it for the Lightning. Would be surprised if it's Vasilevsky, but regardless, still hard to trust this Blackhawks team with Subban in the net against a dominant team in the Tampa Bay Lightning with that buzzer beater game winner last night. It is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, and the show is Rush Hour. Danny Burke here, as always, at the Bet Rivers Sportsbook. We're taking you for the next hour, getting you ready with some NHL action, some UFC from Lou Finicaro. Plus, we're going to switch it up, talk some baseball, baby. We're in the midst of spring training, looking forward to opening day as well. We've hit some season win totals. We've hit some team futures. But what about more so with player awards? Well, we'll discuss that right now. The new guest on the show, Clay Link at ClayWLink, is where you can follow him on Twitter. Does great work as a senior MLB editor over at RotoWire. Clay, thanks for hopping on tonight. How you doing?
Doing well. I appreciate the invite. Always down to talk some baseball.
Of course. Well, let's get right into it. And, you know, we're going to, like I said, kind of go through some of these player awards. And let's start with some AL and NL Rookie of the Year odds to win it. And let's start in the AL. And Arozarena is at the top. And really no surprise here based off what we saw in the small sample size. I mean, plus 350 is where we see him to be AL Rookie of the Year. How do you feel about this whole group in terms of the AL? And is that almost too short of odds to roll with him, or do you have trust in him at the top at plus 350?
Well, you know, I loved what I saw in the postseason, as everybody did with Randy Arozarena. It's easy to get excited about him. The Rays do play their games. You know, their indiscriminate platooning is not going to stop. So while we can kind of project him as a quasi everyday player, there's a chance he sits here or there as they rotate people in. I'm drafting Jared Kelnick as that guy this year. And so I guess he's got to be my pick at plus 650. There's a lot of really interesting and exciting prospects in the American League this year, but Kelnick, I'm trying to get on every team, every fantasy team, if I can. And it is pronounced Kelnick. Hate to be a stickler, but we hate a stickler, don't we, folks? But it is pronounced Kelnick. You can check it out on his baseball reference page. So maybe you can impress your friends before everybody else catches on and starts pronouncing his name correctly. So I do like him. If you look down a little ways, I mean, Alex Kirilloff, the guy can hit. The reports from the alternate site, that's all we had to go on last season, with no AAA season or no minor leagues whatsoever. So we kind of have to take these alternate site reports at their word. And apparently Kirilloff was just otherworldly. I think his dad, big grain of salt, said he was hitting like 800 at the alternate site. So I expect him to come up, be Eddie Rosario's primary replacement there in Minnesota, and maybe right off the bat. Also, Andrew Vaughn, plus 2,000. If you want a little bit longer odds that pay off a little better, I think Andrew Vaughn's ready to rake. He was the number 3 pick in the 2019 draft, I believe. And he looks ready. And so I think they kind of already earmarked him for DH. Maybe first base and Jose Abreu goes to DH. You usually don't bring up a rookie to play DH right away. But either way, I think he's going to play. And he's a good chance as anybody, really, to have success right away.
All right. Well, then let's look at the other side. Let's go NL Rookie of the Year. And some interesting names here. We got Brian Hayes, plus 350. And we got Sanchez, who obviously we saw a solid sample size of this past year at 5-1. Ian Anderson comes next at Bet Rivers at plus 750. And then really the list keeps going on and on. You get Dylan Carlson, 9-1. And then, you know, if you go a little bit farther down, O'Neill Cruz at 15-1 along with Joey Bart. I mean, anybody in terms of the long shots here, or is this more of a familiarity thing and maybe you'd lean towards Sanchez at 5-1?
You know, this pool isn't as deep, I don't think, as the AL rookies, so this is a little bit harder to sift through after the top names. I do like Cabrian Hayes quite a bit with Pittsburgh. He was the kind of guy who was touted so much for his defense coming up, and then he comes up and rakes right away at the plate and kind of exceeded expectations, kind of like Francisco Lindor did as a prospect. And so maybe there's another level. He's going to run a little bit, and so that's pretty nice to get it at third base. And so I do like Ryan Hayes, even though he's the money favorite. Dylan Carlson a few players down at plus 900. A little bit of a rocky initial cup of coffee for him. But then he came back from the alternate site and was great and was even batting cleanup for the Cardinals in the postseason. Now that Nolan Arenado's there. That's probably not his spot, but maybe his spot's atop the order. And either way, I think he's ready to rock right away. And just good to see a young kid like that make the adjustments. You never want to see a guy come up, fall on his face, and then not really turn it on the next go. So, and he definitely did. So I feel pretty good about Dylan Carlson in St. Louis. And then Ha-Seong Kim, signed by the Padres. Our guy, Eric Halterman at RotoWire, who did a lot of the KBO, Korea Baseball Organization coverage. He really likes Ha-Seong Kim and thinks his skill set's going to translate against big league pitching. So I kind of like him as a long shot here, plus 1,800. The thing that holds people back, and you know he's fallen a lot in fantasy baseball, is because they've added to that roster. They brought in Jerickson Profar. They have Jake Cronenworth. They have all these pieces. And so it's most people are not projecting Ha-Seong Kim for a regular role, but for an everyday role anyway. And, you know, he's one injury away from being in that lineup every single day. So he's got power, speed, and could be a sneaky choice because he was, you know, he was MVP worthy over in the KBO at 25 years old.
All right, well, let's switch it up and go to some players who have some experience in this league. And let's go to the player to have the most home runs for this upcoming season. And no shocker here, but Pete Alonso is at the top of the list as a favorite, 10-1, along with Mike Trout. Then you get Joey Gallo at 11-1, Juan Soto 12-1, Ronald Acuna Jr., he's at 13-1, along with Cody Bellinger, and the Southsider Eloy Jimenez at 15-1. Anybody off of that list that you would put a couple coins on?
You know, it's hard to bet against Pete Alonso, just such immense raw power. And I mean, just a threat to run into one at any given time and send one over the fence. So, you know, it seems like maybe too easy. And this is the one that can fluctuate and it's kind of hard to predict, but you can never go wrong with Pete Alonso. One guy who, you know, plus 2000, Yordan Alvarez, I've been skeptical to draft him in fantasy baseball, just given he's a young guy with injury history with his knees already and limited to DH. But if this guy plays, he's a very good bet to be top five in home runs. So you look at him a little ways down the list, and I like Yordan Alvarez in Houston a lot. Franmil Reyes, maybe a sneaky choice a little ways down, and maybe even Vlad Jr. I know the ground balls, and people know I like Vladdy Jr. maybe a little too much, but maybe if you could just fix that ground ball lean a little bit. I mean, the raw power, I saw it with my own two eyes when he was in the Arizona Fall League at 19 years old, 117 miles off the bat. Off the bat, he's among the best. So if he could just fix the ground balls, get more of them in the air, I mean, at plus 5,000, it's not bad on Vladdy Jr.
Yeah, not too shabby at all. Well, let's go ahead and take a look at the most hits then. Got Whit Merrifield at the top at 10-1. Trey Turner comes next at 11-1. Mookie Betts 12-1, along with DJ LeMahieu. This one's a little bit more intriguing too, because you know it's all about getting in that rhythm, that consistency, and what your schedule is going to look like with the favorable matchups. But you know, how do you kind of assess most hits? Is this someone or some kind of bet in a sense where you're tracking the same type of guys year in or year out, or is there a surprising name you think that could crack the top of your list?
It is one where I think year in, year out, it gives you a good idea of who should be atop this list, because this is more of a volume-driven one where, you know, home runs too, but these guys need to be on the field every single day and compiling these hits to be the leader at the end. They'll probably need to clear 200, which, you know, is not easy. I'm going to fade Whit Merrifield at the very top. I get it. He's been good, but and I'll happily be wrong yet again. I've been fading him for a while. He's older than Jose Altuve. Aging second baseman, typically not strong bets in general. So this is one where I'd probably fade the very tip top in Merrifield. Maybe go Frankie Lindor. I expect a big bounce back from Francisco Lindor. I also like Nick Castellanos in Cincinnati. It was a horrible season for him, really. At least the final month after a hot start. But this guy had like 58 doubles in 2019, and he could just be a force. So if he's on the field every day, maybe a guy like Jeff McNeil. That's not a very exciting name, not a very sexy name, Jeff McNeil, but that could be one. And maybe Bo Bichette. It's going to be weird seeing that team play in Dunedin, Florida, to start things. And I don't know exactly how that park's going to play. I think it's pretty favorable for righties, but and people are drafting Bo Bichette in fantasy in like the second round. He's already up in this mix at the very top, so you know the sports books are giving Bo Bichette quite a bit of love already.
Yeah, Bo Bichette we're seeing at 22-1, so some decent value there with the young stud. Castellanos you can get at 25-1 as well. You're right. I mean, in his stint with Chicago and even before with the Tigers, he was absolutely dominant. And, you know, last year could be somewhat of an aberration just because of how unique that season was. So could certainly present some good value at 25-1 with Castellanos. And, you know, looking ahead here, the most RBIs is a little bit intriguing to me because you get Juan Soto at the top 8-1. Cody Bellinger 10-1, Ozuna 12-1, along with Mike Trout. But a name like Cody Bellinger, I think, is someone to watch this year in the sense of what kind of Bellinger are you going to get, right? Because, I mean, he went through his lulls this past season. But again, how much do we attribute it to it being such a unique season? So what do you like about this most RBI and the players in this contention? And just your overall thoughts on Cody Bellinger and what we can expect out of him.
Yeah, I love Bellinger's skills, but I'm a little worried about that shoulder. You know, he had to do that Bash Brothers celebration in the postseason and jumping forearm smash, and he hurt his shoulder. And I'm a little worried about him getting off to a nice start. It's our injury guy at RotoWire, Jeff Stotts, he had a good article where he threw out some comps coming off a similar surgery and some guys who – you know, weren't quite themselves. It may take a little while for Bellinger to be himself. So I'm a little hesitant to invest there. Juan Soto, I love, obviously, how can you not as a baseball fan? I'm a little worried about him getting the Barry Bonds treatment. And they got some guys to quote-unquote protect him and Kyle Schwarber and Josh Bell. But at the same time, if he's getting walked constantly, it's going to be hard for him to lead this category. And so I like to, you know, Pete Alonso, I already mentioned him for home runs, but that could be one. Yordan Alvarez again here, where it's more so about him being down here after the lost season. We know what he can do when healthy. Nelson Cruz, 41 years old, I believe, and still going. Just never gets any love, never gets any respect, but plus 4,000 if he can stave off Father Time and avoid that cliff for one more year, I mean, Nelson Cruz could very well be up in this mix. And then Joey Gallo, plus 6,600 if you want a long shot. I've never been a huge Joey Gallo guy, and I'm not trying to overreact. In fact, I'm slapping myself in the face and reminding myself not to overreact to his first few days of spring training. But he has homered in his first three games. And, you know, the batting average, it's probably going to be a sinkhole. But he's going to be on the field every day. This team has to play Joey Gallo. He's an on-base guy. So I think if they can just get some guys ahead on base for him and he can kind of get back to being like 230, 240, he's got among the most raw power in the game along with, you know, the Stantons, the Yordan Alvarez type. So that's a long shot given that team. You know, I think most people would suspect that they're going to struggle to get enough runners on base ahead of Joey Gallo, but I kind of like him as a sneaky one. I just drafted him the other night when I was trying to catch up in RBI, so I kind of like him as a long shot.
All right, Clay, before we let you go, we got about 2 minutes left. What are your thoughts on pitcher to record the most strikeouts? Gerrit Cole at the top, plus 450. DeGrom, plus 475. Yu Darvish, a guy that, you know, you're a coworker and a friend, you're familiar with Jeff Erickson. Him and I pointed out Darvish last year where obviously it didn't come to fruition, but there was some good value on him. And now he's on a new setup with the Padres. What do we think about this setup for most strikeouts?
This is a tough one to figure out, especially this year coming off the short season, because we expect most teams to manage their arms in some way. Now, maybe the Gerrit Coles and DeGroms will be shielded from that and immune to that in a way, but it's not a lock, and they could have a few starts skipped. DeGrom had a couple minor things pop up last year. He can miss a few starts. I mean, any pitcher can go bust at any time, but I still think DeGrom is probably the best bet here. Honestly, he just keeps doing it. He was touching 99 like in the first days of camp, so I like him. And actually, because of the usage patterns of pitchers this year, Trevor Bauer because I think he's the guy who is probably the exception to the rule, where you sign that 1 year deal with the options. And I think he signed with the intent that, look, I want as many innings as possible. And I think the Dodgers actually want to accommodate him in order to save innings on other arms, like, you know, the Dustin Mays, the Tony Gonsolins of the world. So I think they brought in Bauer as a little bit of a surprise, but I think they did that to ease the burden and just provide some flexibility with the rest of the staff. So if I'm looking at pure innings, I think Trevor Bauer is a pretty good bet to lead in innings. And then with that, you'd have to expect him to be among the tops in Ks. So plus 800, Trevor Bauer, mostly because, you know, he wants to start every fourth day. I don't think they're going to let him do that for 6 months. But if he's doing that for a month, or they're cycling him in and kind of using him to build in off days for others, I saw him a lot with Cincinnati last year, and the spin rate's all ticked up. There's no reason he's going to stop using that pine tar now, really. He's going to...
That's for sure, yeah.
And they can't single him out.
You're absolutely right. 8-1 and same. Hey, Lucas Giolito right at that spot too, which could be another viable option. But Clay, sorry we got to cut you short here, but we appreciate you hopping on to talk some ball. Look forward to catching up again soon.
Yeah, I really appreciate the invite. Good talking.
Absolutely. At Clay W. Link is where you can follow him on Twitter. Catch his work over at RotoWire. We're talking NBA All-Star next here on Visa. Don't wait days for your winnings. Cash out instantly with BetRivers' new feature, Rush Pay. Get your cash when you want it at BetRivers Sportsbook, the industry leader with exclusive bets, daily specials, odds boosts, and the most in-play betting options out there. As always, get a $250 match bonus, the fastest payouts, and only one-time playthrough at BetRivers, your hometown sportsbook. Offer valid in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Virginia, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. Available at PlaySugarHouse.com in New Jersey. Must be 21. Gambling problem, Illinois, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, call 1-800-GAMBLER, Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT, Colorado, 1-800-522-4700, Michigan, 1-800-270-7117, 1-888-532-3500 in Virginia, not valid in Iowa. Welcome back into Rush Hour here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We are live just outside of Chicago at the BetRivers Sportsbook. Plenty of action going on to the big screens to my right, George Mason and Davidson. Going on the big screen, to be exact. George Mason is getting walloped right now, 81-56. But let's start out the segment like we typically have been, and that's going over our picks from yesterday. So yesterday we finally had a nice bounce back night compared to what we had these past few nights throughout this week. A clean sweep, 3-0, folks, all in the NHL. Love that card yesterday, and luckily it came to fruition. We had a dub with the Rangers over the Devils. No Josh Applebaum. My producer Doug Greenberg liked that pick as well. Devils had the early 1-0 lead, but the Rangers just continued to cruise all throughout. They get the win 6-1. Then the Canadiens and the Jets. This was a play where I was just really surprised that the Canadiens were such a big favorite and that the Jets were a dog considering how they had played against the Canadiens. Canadiens' only win, however long it was against the Senators. So I liked the value with Winnipeg. They almost blew it, but they got the win in overtime 4-3. And how about the Islanders taking advantage of the lowly Sabres once again? They won in regulation 5-2 at minus 117. So we sweep the board in the NHL. That brings us to 14-9 in our NHL bets. So a nice night in hockey. Again, the only play I was maybe going to make was the Bruins, which is already underway. Didn't pull the trigger. Might have some plays for this weekend, so be sure to give me a follow at DannyBurke5, and I'll tweet those out if that is the case. Speaking of plays this weekend, we do got an All-Star game to look forward to. That's right, the NBA All-Star game. So we're going to briefly take a look at these lines. I'm not going to go too in-depth about this All-Star game because, you know, it's really tricky to handicap. But really quick, what they got posted at BetRivers for the game itself. Team LeBron is a 4-point favorite. They're also minus 175 on the money line, plus 145 on the buyback for Team Durant. Total's at 310. Now, that has moved up from 309 earlier today. Naturally, everybody's going to move up or going to bet the total in this one because who wants to bet an under for an All-Star game? I would bet the over because, one, again, who's going to bet the under in an All-Star game? And with these bets, it's not like anything official, right? It's, you know, it's kind of just your lunch money type of bets. But a lot of these players didn't really want to play in this game. It's a more unique schedule and season, so maybe these players want to preserve themselves even more so, be a little bit more cautious on defense, hence more scoring, more points. And when you look at these two teams just head-to-head, I mean, look at Team LeBron. I mean, they're absolutely dominant. You got LeBron, Giannis, Steph, Luka, Jokic, Lillard, Simmons, Paul Brown, George Sabonis, and Rudy Gobert. Team Durant, you don't even have Durant playing. You got Kyrie Irving, who's minimally played this season, Joel Embiid, who's more focused on winning MVP, Kawhi, Beal, Tatum, Harden, Booker, Williamson, Levine, Randall, Vucevic, and Donovan Mitchell. Look, I would have to go Team LeBron here. It seems like the obvious answer, but four seems a little bit too low. Again, it's lunch money. I'd maybe just find a decent price on the money line, hope it goes down, because no matter how stacked the teams are, always seems like it comes down to the wire. So we'll probably just go Team LeBron and over, if anything, for the NBA All-Star game. But speaking of the NBA, I wanted to throw in a futures bet that I did pull the trigger on, in fact, today. Now, you know, putting it out there, yes, it's not the best value, especially what you could have had, but I pulled the trigger on Joel Embiid today at 2-1 to win MVP. Now, Jacob Roach, who does a great job producing at VSiN, loves the NBA. Him and I were getting into this discussion, and at this point, it's clear that he's the front runner, right? I mean, LeBron has taken a back seat in the sense that the Lakers have struggled without Anthony Davis. That could have been his time to shine and enhance his chances to win MVP, but that hasn't been the case. Joel Embiid has done quite the opposite, and you see the on and off stats and how dramatically different the Sixers play without him. And the thing is here, too, yeah, you can sit and sulk that you didn't get a better price than Embiid, but making money's making money, right? And these, and his odds most likely are only going to keep decreasing, meaning you're going to get worse value. So why not take advantage of it now at 2-1? Because if he keeps up what he's doing, in my mind, no one else is going to overcome him. Yeah, Jokic has been doing great, but the Sixers have been doing better as a team overall than the Nuggets have. And LeBron James, I mean, same thing. He had his chance to shine and be the number one guy without Anthony Davis. Not that he hasn't done it or it wasn't doing it, but Embiid's just been that much better. So I'm taking the plus 200 with Joel Embiid. Not the best odds. Hey, it's still plus money and you're getting 2-1. So let's hope for a great second half from Joel Embiid. Speaking of futures, I got another play, but in hockey next. To win the Stanley Cup, I'll discuss that along with the NHL slate here on VSiN. Saturday, a.k.a. tomorrow, VSiN brings you the English Premier League betcast for the match between Aston Villa and Wolverhampton at 12:30 p.m. Eastern, presented by BetRivers Sportsbook. VSiN EPL betcast is the best way to keep up with the soccer betting action live during those matches. Join Nigel Seeley and Harry Simiu as they talk betting during the biggest match of the weekend. And don't worry if you're new to in-play soccer betting, because they'll show you the ropes and the smartest plays of the day. Visit VSiN.com/EPL. Tune in at 12:30 p.m. Eastern tomorrow morning. That's VSIN/EPL. It is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. The show is Rush Hour, and we are live here at the BetRiver Sportsbook. Danny Burke, your host. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at DannyBurke5. Just going over a futures play that I pulled the trigger on in terms of the NBA with Joel Embiid 2-1 to win MVP. Now, of course, I would elaborate and go further into that if we had more time, and she basically got the crux of it. Look, I believe his odds are going to keep decreasing, and you might as well take the value now. Don't sulk that you could have had better odds. If he continues what he's doing before, he should win MVP. Now, in terms of another future that I did pull the trigger on today, how about in hockey to win the Stanley Cup? VGK at 9-1. Now, my producer, Doug Greenberg, was telling me that preseason, you know, he took VGK at 9-1, so you're still getting pretty solid value with the Golden Knights, with a team that's been performing very well. But just going down the Stanley Cup odds, I mean, the Lightning are at the top, 5-1, Maple Leafs are plus 550, Colorado Avalanche 8-1, BGK's at 9-1. So just really discussing those teams first. I get the Lightning. I put BGK in Tampa Bay. I mean, those are my top two teams who I'd play. 5-1, not the best odds. So I'm just personally not going to play that at this moment with Tampa Bay. Toronto at plus 550. Yes, they've been dominant, but it still just feels hard and weird to try to trust this Maple Leafs team. Colorado's a little bit too volatile for me. I mean, I know they've been picking it up as of late, but I do think overall, despite what we saw, you know, the last week or two, I think VGK is a better team than Colorado. The inconsistency is what's making me hesitant on the Avalanche. So why not take a team that I think is better in VGK with better odds at 9-1 as opposed to 8-1? And that's what I'm doing, because Marc-Andre Fleury has been arguably a top three goalie in the league as of this point. I don't think it's worth arguing. I think it's just a fact. And Leonard, I mean, who knows what's going to happen when he gets healthy, but this team has been great at home. They're still just built dominant all throughout. I think they're due here in their short tenure, but they have the experience, as short as that may be, and I like the value with VGK at 9-1, another spot where I think their odds will decrease. So take the value now with the Golden Knights, and that's what I'm doing, along with Joel Embiid at 2-1 to win MVP. And those are a couple of futures that we have. Of course, we'll keep tally on those as we go throughout. The other one I had from a while ago, the Cardinals to win the Central at plus 160. But again, we'll revisit that a little bit closer to the MLB season. But all right, speaking of hockey, folks, we do have a slate to look forward to this evening. So let's dive into that. Let's start with the Avalanche and the Ducks. The aforementioned Colorado Avalanche opened up to minus 275 favorite in this spot. And now we see them at about minus 265, so a little bit of love toward the Ducks here, who are plus 215. Totals at 5.5 over minus 109, along with the under. Now, the Ducks are on an 8-game losing streak, as we know, but these teams have split games earlier this year. Colorado got a win in overtime 3-2, then the Ducks got a dub 3-1. Avalanche just beat the Sharks on Wednesday 4-0, so they're riding a little bit of momentum. Nathan McKinnon left the game the last game with an apparent head injury, so keep a tab on McKinnon. Haven't seen his status as of late, but that's something to keep an eye on. Nevertheless, shouldn't be an issue with this Avalanche team against the Ducks, who have been awful. You want to take the puck and a half, or excuse me, lay it with the Colorado Avalanche. It's just even money, so not the best value, but tough to lay that minus 265. Let's go ahead and talk Wild and Coyotes next. Arizona, plus 123 at home. The Wild, minus 141, is the road favorite. Total here at 5.5. The Wild are coming off those back-to-back losses that we cashed in on against VGK. Coyotes coming off a win on Wednesday against the Kings, which, you know, we are on the wrong side of that, but the Kings made it close. Brutal second period, but nevertheless, the Coyotes won that game, and they come into this one, like we said, as a slight home dog, plus 123. Total at 5.5 years, interesting. This one is just such a, it's a peculiar matchup in the sense that, you know, the Wild, you would think, would be the move here, but I don't trust them enough. As good as they have been lately, they would be almost dumb enough, dare I say, to lose this game, because I don't think Arizona's a solid team, but who knows what the kind of feeling is going to be going into this one. So this is just a complete and utter stay away from me, and just kind of sit back, study, and sample it. But again, if you want the Coyotes as a home dog, it's plus 123. All right, let's talk about the Blues and the Kings. This is another good matchup tonight because the Blues are riding a 3-game win streak, albeit not pretty necessarily. It's still a 3-game win streak, and they're laying minus 122. The Kings were on a hot streak until they play the Coyotes the other night. They're catching plus 106 at home. This total at 5.5. Binnington, if he's in the net tonight, he struggled against the Kings this year so far, 1-2. You know, I mean, he's done well himself. The Blues just necessarily haven't come through for him. He has a 2.1 goals against average with a 92 save percentage. If it's Calvin Peterson going in for the Kings, he's 1-1 versus the Blues, 2.03 goals against average with a 94 save percentage. So overall, he's 4-4-2, 2.43 goals against average. But interesting spot here with the Kings as the home dog, despite them coming off a loss. Wouldn't be rushing to lay it with the Blues per se. And then finally, the team that we took a futures on, the Golden Knights, minus 225 on the road against the San Jose Sharks. VGK riding that 4-game win streak into this spot. Total opened up at 6.5. Now it's down to 6. If you want to lay the puck and a half instead of laying the big money line price, it's plus 116 with the Golden Knights. If you want to take the puck and a half with the Sharks, you're laying minus 137. Look, San Jose is a team that allows almost 4 goals per game. VGK's putting up 3.2 themselves. They did play back on February 13th, and VGK did get the win at San Jose 3-1. Probably a spot, like we said, you know, You look at those win in regulation or puck line plays. And if it's a smaller puck line, about plus 116 is where we're staying it, I'd personally almost just rather lay a little bit more to get the win in regulation for a little bit more security, and because it's not that great of value to have to sweat, you know, the potential empty netter at the end of the game. So that's probably how I would assess that one with VGK and San Jose. Finally, I know we briefly touched on it, but let's go back to the Blackhawks and the Lightning game. This is the last one we'll hit, obviously. Then we'll talk some UFC next segment with Lou Fittacaro. But we briefly touched on this one. The Blackhawks with Subban in the net are plus 160 as the home dog. They lost on a buzzer beater last night. It was an unfortunate one, but at least they picked up a point. Tampa Bay minus a buck 90 is the road favorite. This total dropped from 6.5 now to 6. The over is favored, minus 115, under minus 103. Look, the Lightning are 3-0 against the Blackhawks so far this year. It's really tough to want to back Subban here, and especially against that loss last night that's almost draining. You got so far, you did so well against a top team in the league, and then you fall short on a buzzer beater, and now you don't got your number one guy in net. I think it's going to be another tough test for Chicago, maybe even harder. I would look for the Lightning, once again, win in regulation or on the puck line. All right, like we said, next we're going to the Octagon. Our main man, Lou Fittacaro, talks UFC 259 next. Right now, BetRivers Sportsbook is offering up to $250 in college hoops free bets. That's right, for every $50 in real money wagered on NCAA basketball single bets at minus $2 or longer odds, you'll get a $5 free bet for March Madness up to $250. Free bets can be used on NCAA hoops games at minus 200 or longer odds, like we said. Plus, check in at BetRivers.com every day for college hoops odds boosts. BetRivers, remember, is your hometown sportsbook. Offer expires March 14th, and it's valid in Colorado, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Virginia, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. Available at PlaySugarHouse.com in New Jersey. Must be 21. Gambling problem, Illinois, New Jersey, Pennsylvania. Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Colorado, 1-800-522-4700. Michigan, 1-800-270-7117. 1-888-532-3500. In Virginia, Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Finishing out this week on a Friday. And it's the last segment, which means you know what time it is, folks. Time to talk with the main man, Lou Fittacaro, the UFC handicapping legend. At GamLou is where you can follow him on Twitter. Catch his work at VSiN, Point Spread Weekly Contributor. Just go to VSiN.com/subscribe. Lou, UFC 259 is stacked, my man. I know you've been talking about it on a couple different shows today, but odds change and so do your thoughts sometimes, so we're excited to get into it. How are you feeling heading into tomorrow?
Well, I'm beside myself with excitement. We have 15 fights, four champions competing for three belts and fighters from over 10 countries. And we can't even begin to start to mention how many different style, body shapes and sizes we have. It's going to be an outstanding afternoon.
That it is. Well, let's dive right into it with the bantamweight bout, the fight that you picked out to really start the card here. You got Song Yadong in this spot, minus 152 currently at Bet Rivers is what we're seeing, going up against Kyler Phillips. Now, you're looking at the dog here in this spot at about plus 130 is where you snag Phillips. Currently, you can get Phillips at plus 125 at Bet Rivers. But what do you like so much about Phillips in this fight?
Well, I like the fact that he's 2 years older than the young Chinese fighter. And he has every bit the experience, if not more. He fights out of the MMA lab, which Mario Bautista and Casey Kenney, both on this card, as well as Sugar Shane O'Malley fight. And with a stable of 135ers there, these guys are sharpening each other's steel. Kyler Phillips has a more sturdy wrestling background with a little bit of better, a little bit more depth of experience. I think he's up to the challenge, though. Song Yadong should be a favorite. I think this maybe should be closer to pick. It's going to be a competitive three-round fight, but I do think that Kyler Phillips is up for the task here. I like his price at plus 130. It's a great price.
All right, a fight that I actually found kind of interesting here, and I'm glad you pointed it out, the bantamweight bout here, once again, Casey Kenney versus Dominic Cruz. And, you know, people who watch the show and just follow you in general, Lou, know that you don't typically lay a price. But in this one, you're actually looking at the favorite with Casey Kenney here at about minus 137 versus Dominic Cruz, who's currently plus 110. Look, Cruz is probably a little bit past his prime, I would speculate, at this point. So is that something that factored into your assessment here? And maybe if that is, aside from that, what's the like here about Casey Kenney?
What's to like about Kenny is that he's won his last three. His last against Nathaniel Wood, a really outstanding fighter. In fact, much like the kind of fight he's going to get from Cruz. Very mobile, a striker. Cruz, on the other hand, two-time bantamweight champion. However, he's been very inactive. He's had to overcome injuries to both knees, both hands. Lost his last two fights, been inactive. At 35 years old, he's not going to wrestle Casey Kenney because Kenny's wrestling foundation is too strong, and Casey Kenney's 29 years old. Cruz can't use the cardio to wrestle, and Cruz doesn't have the power to knock him out. Therefore, I believe that Dominic has to use his feet and at 35 pick and peck and stay away and outpoint Casey Kenney. I just don't believe that he's going to be able to do that at this advanced age against a young, hungry lion eager to make a name for himself. And minus 135, I think, is a fair price to pay for Kenny in this spot.
All right, Lou, let's stick with the bantamweight, but go to the title bout here with Piotr Jan and Sterling. And Sterling is a slight dog. Now, you got a little bit better prices. We always talk about, Lou, and reiterate, be sure to subscribe to VSiN so you get that price early on, which you put out. Plus 102, though, currently is where we see it with Sterling. Plus 120 is where you were able to snag it at. Minus 1.25 for Piotr Jan here. And what's to like about Sterling coming into this title bout?
Well, really, any handicapper that chose either side has a legitimate reason, excuse or a legitimate foundation for picking that fighter, Danny. Piotr Jan, really more a striking specialist from Russia, but he's been around grappling plenty, packs a lot of power. However, his path to the championship through Uriah Faber and Jose Aldo is not near as accomplished as guys like Stamen, Rivera, Sandhagen, and the guys that Aljo has beaten on his way. And so body of competition goes to Aljamain Sterling. I always like a wrestler. He's the wrestling, grappling-based fighter. We'll be able to tell where this fight's going by where it takes place, because if it's on the ground and rolling, it's going to be Aljo's world. And if it's on the feet and standing, the slight favor will go to Piotr Jan. And so there's a great cat and mouse game here, but I have reason to believe that Aljo's up to the task, and he's going to, based on his body and competition, be able to overcome Piotr Jan.
All right, then let's move on to that lightweight bout with Drew Dober taking on Islam Makhachev here. And this is one of those bets that you have from time to time, Lou, where it's not necessarily going to be a full play, more like a half unit sometimes. You like to toss out, throw some lunch money on it. But look, I mean, Dober here plus 275 currently at Bet Rivers, minus 360 for Makhachev there is the favorite. Plus 320 is where you were able to snag Dober at. But, you know, why do you think there could be a chance for Dober to overcome Makhachev in this fight?
Dober has a wrestling background, which is foundational to this fight, because Makhachev's advantage will be wrestling. Makhachev comes from a camp that includes Khabib Nurmagomedov, and Khabib, as well as everyone in the camp, has gone so far as to anoint Makhachev as the new Khabib. And I think that's all well and good. And in his past fights, he's shown me really good fighting ability, but he hasn't fought the competition of Dober. And Dober comes in here a confident fighter, and he comes in here a fighter that's really on a win streak. There's a lot to be said with confidence. He fights out of Team Elevation. And as I handicap this fight, I look at Makhachev as being a minus 180 or a minus 200. I think that's fair. But now you're going to make it minus 400 and you're going to give me plus three something on Dober. That's just too obtuse. I can make a small bet and still win a unit plus on Drew Dober. And don't be surprised if Dober shows well. He's going to show well.
All right, and then finally, let's go to the main event, the light heavyweight bout here with Jan Błachowicz and Israel Adesanya. In this one, Adesanya, naturally the big favorite is what we expected, minus 235 currently at Bet Rivers. Błachowicz here at about plus 187. You're kind of looking at a different angle for this fight, is that right?
Yeah, I'm intrigued with this fight because, again, just like Makhachev has to prove to me that he can beat Dober, Izzy has to prove to me that he can go up in weight, fight a bigger man in his territory in a smaller cage at the apex with almost every intangible going to Jan Błachowicz besides the fact that Jan knows Izzy and his camp picked on him. And so he knows he's been set up to be the lamb. So I don't think he likes it one bit. And we're going to get a good effort out of a legitimate 230-pound fighter. That's what he'll walk into the octagon at tomorrow. Meanwhile, Adesanya with speed kills. I do believe he's a transcendent fighter. I think he has matrix-like moves, precision, and deft defensive movement. That said, he still has to prove it, and I'm less willing to try and stick my neck out with him minus 200 or so. I think he's way higher priced than I would have expected him to be. But I think that it's going to take Błachowicz a while to try and corner him against the cage and chop him down. Meanwhile, Adesanya, I don't think he packs a lot of punch at middleweight, let alone moving up to light heavyweight. And for that reason, Danny, I think this is a really good position for over 2.5, which, depending on where you shop, is minus 140 or minus 150.
Yeah, and minus 148 is where you could snag it at Bet Rivers still. So right around your price area, like you got it at minus 145. Tend to agree with you in that spot. I always agree with you, Lou. We love your picks, and we love having you on the show. Big card to look forward to tomorrow. And as always, we'll look forward to catching up again next week, Lou. Best of luck. We'll talk to you then.
I sure appreciate being on, and good luck to everybody.
There he is, the man himself, Lou Finocchiaro. Be sure to give him a follow on Twitter, @GamLou. He'll keep you updated throughout the card tomorrow night, and be sure to subscribe to VSiN so you get his plays early on, a little bit better value throughout the week. Just go to VSiN.com/subscribe. But in summation, just to go over some of Lou's picks, he likes that over in the main event. Remember, over 2.5, minus 148 is where you could snag it between Adesanya and Błachowicz at this point. And then in the lightweight bout, Dober for a half unit at about plus 320 is where he snagged it. Bantamweight title bout, Piotr Jan against Sterling. He likes Sterling as a slight dog. And then Kenny -135 versus Dominic Cruz. Don't forget about Kyler Phillips versus Song Yadong. Lou is rolling with Phillips at about plus 130 is where he snagged him at. As always, folks, good luck with your betting weekend. Thank you for tuning in. We'll catch up again on Monday. Take care.